on to the Roman show, the first show, to get things going out here. We're going to be discussing a lot of topics in the world of combat sports and so much more, including even World Wrestling Entertainment. And, of course, we'll be talking a little bit about what's going on in the world, starting off with a very tragic news. We lost over 30 soldiers in Afghanistan. Our prayers go out to all the families that were affected. Unfortunately, this war is still not over with, although many of us think that it's time for us to leave. But as you can see, fortunately, it's just not the right time to leave, as we are still losing some of the soldiers out there. So God bless them. Thank them for their services. In the meantime, we're going to get started with a little action. As you saw, we started off with a little Metallica, a little Fuel. And the reason we started off with Metallica Fuel was because Rashaan Evans was definitely bringing a lot of fuel yesterday at the UFC pay-per-view 133. My goodness, Rashaan Evans came with my blood, with the gasoline. You will give me fire, give me that which I desire. Yes. My goodness, Rashaan Evans, from the time he got inside the arena with those Dr. Dre Beats headphones, was just ready to get inside the octagon and raise some hell, annihilating Tito Ortiz. I understand that the veteran was coming back, or actually feeling off a victory not too long ago. In fact, he took this fight just a few weeks right after this pay-per-view took place. So a lot of kudos to Tito Ortiz by taking this fight on a short notice. Lyoto Machida was actually one of the folks who was in line to get it, but he was, well, not acting as a kind fighter, and asked for a lot more money. So he was denied. So Tito Ortiz stepped up to the plate and fought Rashaan Evans. Tito Ortiz definitely came out, tried his best. Unfortunately, he did not come out with that W. And Rashaan Evans came out victorious in just a very amazing, phenomenal fashion. His boxing is incredible, fast as always, very technical. But most importantly, his groundwork. You can see that Rashaan Evans was trying to land some sort of submission from the get-go. Now, we have to understand that Rashaan Evans has now been training in South Florida, in Boca Raton, with a lot of Brazilian jiu-jitsu greats, the Villaforts, who are part of the family of the Villaforts in Brazil, who are known to be vicious in the jiu-jitsu underground. Over there, we even got Bigfoot Silva training with Rashaan Evans. So it was definitely no surprise that Rashaan Evans was going to dominate Tito Ortiz inside the octagon. Now let's talk about the co-main event, where Vitor Belfort just annihilated Sexy Yama. I think they took the sexy out of Yama now after that gruesome beating in the first round. Sexy Yama, who's a very, very well-known person in his homeland, was basically destroyed in this fight, and leaving Vitor Belfort to perhaps calling out the champ, Anderson Silva, for a possible fight for this belt. However, I don't think it's still his time. There's a lot of folks out there like Kyle Sonnen who has an opportunity to fight for the belt. We all remember what happened with Kyle Sonnen and Anderson Silva. Sonnen taking Anderson Silva to the distance, but Silva winning in incredible fashion with just a short time in the fifth round and won by submission. So definitely Vitor Belfort is a person that could be in the mix, but not yet. We're going to have to wait a little bit till we see this guy fight for a possible title shot. So definitely big news out of the UFC pay-per-view last night, which was definitely a fast one. It was around 10:30 p.m., and we were all in the main event, which was actually pretty shocking, because usually the UFC is to leave the main event till around 11 p.m., but the fights were over with, I believe, a little before 11 or just a little after 11 p.m. So it's quite surprising, and they gave all of the UFC fans some of the preliminary fights soon after. Of course, it's a major loss for the bars, as some of the folks already left since they had seen the major card. But it was something unique, something I had not seen in the UFC, but definitely worth watching last night. The card had a lot of fireworks, and one of them actually was quite surprising. A lot of people were watching last night's UFC, shocked and awe, because one of the fighters dressed, well, inappropriately. We're going to be right back after this quick, short little break. Give me fuel, give me fire, give me salsa. And folks, now as we return with more from last night's UFC 133 pay-per-view, and folks, if you want to call in, all you have to do is call 714-868-0222. That's 714-868-0222. Call in, we'll have a nice little conversation about what happened last night at the UFC 133 pay-per-view, which was a lot of fireworks on that card last night, a lot of amazement. And, you know, reaching out this morning to the news of what was happening really kept me, well, it kept a lot of people surprised and some even embarrassed. One of them being the UFC president, Dana White, who didn't like Dennis Hallman's attire. Now, we all saw what this man was wearing after he lost to Brian Ebersol. But, boy, what the heck was he wearing? He was wearing a skimpy, it kind of seemed like a Speedo. Something what the professional wrestlers wear, kind of like trunks. But boy, his thing was hanging out, and it was definitely kind of, well, not good for the eyes. In fact, because of Ebersol's victory, Dana White awarded him an extra prize money just for beating him up. That's right, he got $70,000. Just for kicking this man's behind last night and embarrassing him because he wore the Speedos. And not only that was this man Ebersol awarded $70,000 after defeating Hallman, but it seems like Speedos will now be banned from the UFC. That's right. If you walk in with a Speedo, you're out. You are not fighting anymore, according to Dana White. Because he does not like fighters wearing Speedos. Now, if we go way back to the early days of the UFC, we can remember folks wearing ridiculous attires. They had, you know, some of them had trunks like boxers, since they had the whole boxer versus jiu-jitsu, and they had wrestlers and singlets and so forth. But nowadays, it seems that they're getting a lot more serious and a lot more respectful with the sport. They want you to wear appropriately clothing inside the octagon. In a way, it's kind of as a sports team wearing a proper uniform, and it makes sense. So it's definitely, if Dana White is banning this thing, then I personally believe it's appropriate. We will now obviously see more of this Hayabusa and these shorts that the fighters wear, but no more Speedos inside the octagon. If you have, yeah, I'd like to hear your opinion, what you think about Dana White's banning on Speedos. Do you think it's a definitely good move on the UFC? Do you think it's even worth mentioning? Do you think it's even appropriate that Ebersol was awarded $70,000 just for beating this guy's butt because he was wearing the Speedos? Please call me up at the Roman Show at 714-868-0222. So obviously, a great fight last night. If you have a favorite fight, please call in and we'll talk about it. We'll find out which one was your favorite fight. Personally, I thought that the Ebersole fight was actually pretty good, believe it or not. It was definitely exciting. Ebersole, the man who has an arrow on his chest. His chest hair has been shaved to look as an arrow. I think it's quite amazing, actually, that a man to wear such a thing. It's kind of funny. So I think that fight, not just because of the Speedos, but because of the arrow on his chest, just made it kind of seem like a freak show last night. But it was a great fight, and it was definitely worth seeing the pay-per-view last night. It was not dull at all, although the preliminary fights on Spike were a little bit dull, but for the most part, the rest of the pay-per-view was exciting. Now, a lot of things happened afterward after the post-fight interview with Dana White. One of them being that Dan Henderson, Strikeforce fighter and former UFC veteran and a phenomenal wrestler, might be coming to the UFC. In fact, Dana White and Henderson were in discussion about a possible return. Dana White just basically replying that all they need to do is talk about it in order for them to get something going. And we might see Dan Henderson. Now, who would you like to see Dan Henderson fight up against? Maybe Lyoto Machida or perhaps someone else. A lot of talk out there on who Dan Henderson might be facing if he were to return to the octagon. So a lot of things happening before we get ready for our next UFC pay-per-view, which is the most hyped, I would say, pay-per-view in a very long time since UFC 100, and that is UFC Rio, where Anderson Silva will be defending his title. And there's a lot of amazing fights on that card at UFC Rio. It's something that has been in the works for a very, very, very long time. It's definitely a show that a lot of people will be watching because it's the return of the UFC to Brazil. And UFC has not been there for such a long time that it will be definitely a monumental moment in the sport and in the country itself, which it soon will be preparing to host the World Cup of Soccer. Now, from what I understand, Brazil's number one sport is soccer, followed by, believe it or not, MMA. So it's a huge deal over there in Brazil and South America, the South American country. So on that card, ladies and gentlemen, it's definitely going to be an amazing one. Anderson Silva versus Yoshin Okami. We got Forrest Griffin, who we have not seen for a very long time, versus Mauricio Shogun Rua. We got Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira versus Brandon Schaub. Edson Barboza versus Ross Pearson and Luis Kane versus Nedov. It's definitely going to be an amazing one. And also on the prelims, which are going to be airing in Spike, Fisher versus Thiago Tavares and David Mitchell versus Paulo Thiago. So it's definitely going to be an exciting card. A lot of Brazilians versus Americans on this UFC 134, Silva versus Okami. Anderson Silva, by far, I predict that he is going to win. And maybe, possibly, we could get that dream match that we have all been waiting for. And that is none other than GSP versus Anderson Silva, perhaps one day, either in Toronto, Brazil, in the United States, in Germany, in England, wherever it wants to happen, let it happen. I think the fight fans want to see this fight happen. It's something that will definitely put the sport on the headlines and step itself away from boxing. We'll be back. Give me fuel, give me fire, give me some salsa!
Fuck!
guys, welcome back again to the Roman Show. Transmitting live from Miami, Florida, and wherever you are listening from, welcome to the show. We're talking a little bit of the UFC 133 pay-per-view from last night. And we'll be talking some other topics, a little wrestling, a little current events, what's going on in the world today. And you can call me at 714-868-0222. At 714-868-0222. Again, call in. We'll have a couple of topics to talk about. And something you might have on your mind, which, again, if you have any favorites from last night's C-133 pay-per-view, please feel free to discuss it out here on the Roman Show, where we give you the possibility to talk whatever the heck you want, as long as you keep it clean. So come on in and call us at 714-868-0222. Now, on the local circuit down here in South Florida, we have a lot of shows coming up. Personally, I will be hosting an event this Thursday, that's August 11th, at Club Play South Beach. That's on 5th and Lenox, close nearby, not too far away if you live in Miami, Florida. All you got to do is just jump on the highway and just head on over to Miami Beach. That's at Club Play South Beach. We're going to have some amateur mixed martial arts out there. We have at least 10 fights, or it could be a little less, about 8. But at least a little more than 8 fights we'll have scheduled for that night on August 11th. And on that night, folks, it's going to be an exciting one because it's not just a regular MMA, your amateur MMA fight. Because that same night, a lot of folks, a lot of fighters will be traveling from out of town. People from Georgia, people from Louisiana, people from Michigan. They are traveling to Miami, Florida, not for vacation, but to fight. Because August 11th starts the first day of a tournament where $25,000 are at stake. And also throw in a one-year lease on a car and a pro MMA contract with Fight Time Promotions. So the winner is definitely going to get hooked up with the 25 grand and so many goodies. So whoever comes inside this cage is definitely going to win a win. So you know these guys are going to be hungry. In fact, last week we were at the tryouts, and there are definitely some good performing fighters in the tournament. Again, it starts this Thursday, August 11th. At Club Play South Beach, you want to make sure you're there. It's going to be exciting, a lot of people out there. And the good thing about this show is that not only do we have fights, but we have amazing music. We have that will feel of a South Beach atmosphere with women and people getting along and a lot of socializing. So you definitely want to be out there. And on August 19th, Fight Time Promotions will have its professional show. That's at the War Memorial Auditorium, and that's on August 19th. Mike Bruno will be on the card. Mike Bernhardt, who fought in the Bellator series not too long ago, will also be main eventing the card. And so many other fighters. You got Cedric James, who is in the MMA sport down here in South Florida, and who has made his debut against Dada 5000, who you have probably seen on ESPN. As part of the whole underground fighting venue or scene, Dada 5000 actually winning that fight in South Florida about a year or 2 years ago when he fought Cedric James. A little controversial one because a lot of people said that Cedric James won that fight, but it was awarded to Dada 5000. Again, 714-868-0222 to call into the show. We'll talk a little MMA. And we'll talk a little bit of anything you have on your mind. Let's go ahead and switch gears now to a little report that's coming in right now. We're going to talk a little bit of what's happening in the current events section. TMZ is reporting, ladies and gentlemen, the big boy from Alcas has been arrested. A big boy, as you know, and Andre 3000 haven't had a recent album lately. But instead of rapping, big boy's getting into trouble. The rapper, Popper, again, from the popular group Outkast, was arrested today here in South Florida, in Miami. That's according to the Miami-Dade County Corrections Department. Mr. Boy, whose real name is Antoine Patton, was charged with 3 counts of possession of a controlled substance and 1 count of possession of drug paraphernalia. That happened out here in Miami, Florida, where I am transmitting from. So definitely Big Boy is in big trouble. Now, law enforcement sources tell us, or tell TMZ, that he was busted by Customs and Border Patrol dogs as he was exiting a cruise ship. We're told that Big Boy didn't have a prescription for, get this, folks, one of the paraphernalia he had on him was Viagra. Now, he was booked into jail at 1:35 p.m. Eastern time. Today, actually. He is being held on a $16,000 bond. This is the story that's developing as we speak. Again, he was arrested today at around 1:30 p.m. here in Miami-Dade County, and carrying on his pockets were Viagra. And he is now arrested and looking at a 16 grand bond to get out of jail. So definitely, if he was heading out to a cruise, it didn't turn out to his favor, Big Boy. 714-868-0222 to call in. Have a couple of conversations on whatever topic you want. Go to a short music break, and we'll be right back with more on The Roman Show. Fuel coming from this show. Again, this is The Roman Show. We have about a little under 7 minutes to go here on the show, The Roman Show, letting you know what's happening in the world of MMA, world wrestling, entertainment, and even the world. As we had just announced, a Big Boy from Outkast is in the slammer after he was caught with paraphernalia in Miami-Dade after exiting a cruise ship. So hopefully his cruise went well, but obviously, his stay in Miami, Florida will not be that way. All right, now let's talk a little bit about the World Wrestling Federation. As you know, CM Punk is back. He is with the belt. John Cena is a champion. CM Punk is the champion. The storyline was amazing. It was great. You know, CM Punk went out there and tweeted some pictures having the WWE belt inside a fridge. He was actually in Wrigley Field. And in so many other places, even Comic-Con. But boy, the WWE writers definitely did a number on us by ruining, in my opinion, the whole storyline. They should have definitely gone back how pro wrestling used to be. The storyline would last about a couple of months, 4 or 5 months. But instead, decided to cut the feud and end it within about 2 weeks. 2 weeks, that is not enough. It doesn't build excitement. And not only are they screwing wrestlers like Rey Mysterio, who won the belt and then lost it on the very same day to John Cena. It's kind of personally a slap in the face to Rey Mysterio, who is a very respectful wrestler. But John Cena, as we know, is the face, the name of the WWE. But to give this type of performance, or allowing Rey Mysterio to lose the belt in such a short time, within a matter of an hour or so, is definitely a big slap to the face to the Mexican-American Rey Mysterio Jr. And now John Cena is now going to face CM Punk in SummerSlam. We all know what's going to happen there. CM Punk is obviously probably going to lose, more than likely. And then John Cena is going to go and, you know, they might even have that feud and have like 500 fights before Royal Rumble. And then leading up to WrestleMania, where John Cena is going to fight The Rock here in Miami, Florida. However, I just definitely feel that they did a bad job on the writing. They should have kept the angle going a lot more instead of cutting it short. And now Triple H walks into the scene. He is now the COO, not the CEO, as Vince McMahon was, as he now has been off the TV. And Triple H definitely brings a good feeling to this, because he is a person, obviously, that knows about pro wrestling, because he is a pro wrestler himself. He knows how to set these angles up. In fact, bringing in JR, I think, was a definitely good move, as Michael Cole, although he is a great person, brings a lot of heat. But as far as color commentating, JR and Jerry the King Lawler are both an amazing duel. However, I still see that in Triple H, we need a little spark, a little anger that Vince McMahon had with his, you know, you're fired and so much. It really brought so excitement. It made him seem like a real, you know, boss that you hate. And hopefully we can see that from Triple H, although he's playing the face right now, the COO as a face. Let's see if it works out for him as being turning out as that Vince McMahon. And who knows, we might see the return of Vince McMahon one day. I'm sure that he might return. And Stephanie McMahon, the daughter of McMahon, might come in. She's also the wife of Triple H. So that'll be kind of exciting to see what happens within those two. So definitely a lot of things happening in the world of pro wrestling. And before we get going, as we got a little less than 2 minutes left, they let go of a lot of people, including Melina and Gail Kim. Gail Kim probably will return to TNA. And Melina, well, I have no clue where she's going to be. I know they had a lot of heat in the back. She was part of one of the large pool of people that were fired last week in the World Wrestling Entertainment. Again, Melina was fired, who she is actually has a relationship with, she is the girlfriend of John Morrison. So she's definitely a little bit upset about that. And other wrestlers who were let go, obviously the Divas section, a lot of people in that area and not too much TV time, so I wasn't really surprised as far as the releasement of these guys. All right, folks, so we're on here about a minute and 55 left on the show. Again, next time, keep that number in mind, 714-868-0222. Again, this Thursday, folks, August 11th, we will be at Club Place South Beach. Look it up online at fighttimepromotions.com. You can visit me at rodolphoroman.com. That's my website. You can follow me on Twitter at RomanDH. Go ahead and tweet me your thoughts, your comments, your opinions, anything you want to share. And stay tuned to the next show, because we'll be following up with next week's fight night from the UFC. Definitely should be a good one. Ben Henderson's on that card. We haven't seen him fight in some time, and he's always an exciting fighter, although he was knocked out in an amazing style by Anthony Showtime Pettis. But let's see if Henderson can bring back that heat. Y'all remember that one fight or two fights he had with Cerrone Cowboy. Amazing fight for that belt. So, folks, make sure you keep tuning in, all right? The Roman Show, transmitting live from Miami, Florida. A wet one out here. There's a lot of thunderstorms and rain. But, boy, we keep you updated with what's going on in the world of the UFC, the World Wrestling Entertainment, Strikeforce, TNA, and the world in general itself. Folks, this is The Roman Show, and I am your host, Rodolfo Roman. We'll see you in our next episode next Sunday. Give me fuel, give me fire, give me thunder.